Hey everyone, this is Dina Jones, one of the founders of Joe Bean Roasters. At Joe Bean, our mission, Coffee That Lifts Everyone, is about giving selling power back to coffee farmers, as well as purchasing power into the hands of our customers. Through our network of farmers, we're able to bring you naturally grown, amazing coffee directly. Our long-term farming partners negotiate pricing based on cost of production, as well as quality of product, not on fluctuating, unpredictable market prices. This enables them to create thriving businesses with bright futures. And our customers get empowered knowing exactly who grows their coffee and how, as well as knowing they are a part of a new, sustainable, global coffee network. To try our coffee, go to JoeBeanRoasters.com and be sure to check out our Perpetual Joy coffee subscription to receive a rotating selection of single-origin coffee delivered right to your door. Thank you to all our Rochester friends who have supported us and our farming partners so wonderfully over the years. You are making a difference with every bag.
The following footage is certified PG. Pretty great.
It's Anomaly Presents with your friends, the Podcastronauts.
Sounds like a lot of supernatural baloney to me.
Supernatural, perhaps. Baloney, perhaps not.
Hello and welcome to the Anomaly Presents podcast, the podcast about a genre film festival that's about to go into hibernation for a month or two because it just happened last week, evergreen, right? November 5th through the 9th, 2025. This is the Anomaly Presents podcast. This is the Anomaly Film Festival wrap-up show. My name is Matt Austin, and I am surrounded by some familiar podcastronauts and some ringers because a lot of the podcastronauts are currently at home on the couch recuperating. We'll go around the room here. We'll start to my left with Megan Murphy.
Hi. Some of them are sleeping. And I was poking them. I said, wake up, and they wouldn't. But I'm sure they're just sleeping.
Yeah. Did we put a mirror under their noses?
Well, that just seemed rude and invasive.
This is fair. We've got Magnus Champlin.
Hi.
Host of Mind of Magnus. Mm-hmm. Anomaly co-founder.
Random weird guy.
Random weird guy, occasional podcast or not.
Yeah.
Our guests for this evening, Carrie Lindstrom.
Hello.
And Mike Huntone of the Punches and Popcorn podcast.
Hello.
And as always, on the ones and twos, keeping it nice and crispy for us, it's our board operator, producer extraordinaire. We are in his home. We are invading his space. It's Chris Lindstrom. Hit the button, Chris.
I'm also on my retirement tour.
Worth it.
Oh, so here we are. Is it now just a week from the festival?
It feels like it happened yesterday and a month ago.
It really does.
Uh-huh. Time is lost to me.
Time dilates as soon as we walk out of that theater.
Like, I mean, we do like 17, 18-hour days some of those days.
We do.
Yeah.
I mean, you were the champion Monday night.
Oh, thank you. Saturday night, I also feel a bit Monday as a champion just because I ended up drinking with random people that were like didn't want to make the party stop. So that's another.
The party never stops for Magnus.
For good or for bad.
So, yeah, we're just going to kind of talk about the highlights, the things we found, the new friends we made, the experiences we had, just to get you hyped for, I think we're doing it again next year.
You better.
See?
Give me two months.
A threat.
Oh, we're doing it.
2 months, and then I'll be like, oh, this is a great idea. Past Megan was a fool, but right now, future Megan is a fool.
Yeah. We're all just very tired fools right now.
Oops, all fools.
Don't worry, everybody. I'm 99% sure we'll be back next year, only because our Slack channel is hopping constantly with ideas.
It's a sickness.
It's a sickness. It's burrowed in, and not to go too far behind the curtain, but I feel like this is the most active our Slack channel has been post-festival in multiple years, so everybody's pretty juiced about it.
Mm-hmm. Putting in plans for 2026 when we were still physically at the 2025 festival. What's wrong with us?
It's true.
But that's actually the thing that I appreciate us. We're adapting these like, oh, this is us. For future us is going to be very appreciative of it, putting it in now. And I was thankful. I had a note for myself. I looked through it. I'm like, oh, my God. Past Magnus, like, literally, he's like, do this for Anomaly, bring it. I was like, I forgot I even needed a thing. It literally was a mother person that helped me out. Yes. My past self.
Thanks, Past Magnus. Speaking of things that we're going to have in the future, I realized today, I was looking in the ads, I'm going to get us a little toolbox.
Ooh.
I'm going to get us, because, it's getting to be that time of year, I'm going to go to Harbor Freight and get Anomaly a toolbox, because this year, I don't know if you recall all the decorations, all the vines and everything. Those were all. It was a lot. It was all sourced from Magnus's family farm.
Yeah, yeah, I brought really? It. Yeah, it's all local thing. And we had a lot of it too. We had stuff. Yeah, it was great. It was epic. We had some crazy cool vintage, all the stuff and props and things.
Filled an entire panel van.
Mm-hmm.
Wow,
with vines.
I believe it. The decorations were next level.
Nice.
And we were in the lobby of the Little. I think it's probably the first time that we've used, well, that anyone has used a reciprocating saw on.
Yes.
On
power tool.
On foliage in the lobby of the Little. So we're going to take claim to that.
I was hoping to see some of the photos. People would be walking past and they on the sidewalk. They would stop, take two steps back. All of a sudden a phone would come out and go. Scurry away.
Because there we were on ladders with saws and everything, pruners, trying to. Yeah.
It was a fun. We wanted the design to be not a haunted woods. We wanted that there's a stories happening inside that woods.
Fairy tale woods.
Yeah, fairy tale woods. Yeah. Something else.
Mysteries.
And we had a lot of different variations. I love designing for the theater. It's one of my favorite things. The community aspect and people walking. I mean, the theater's gorgeous in itself, but I want people to walk in and also be like, what the hell's going on here? So it was a good deal for that one.
So I got a question because I always appreciate that every year you all come up with a theme, right? And it's, everything is kind of around that theme. So I really loved that dark kind of weird fairy tale woods this year, even with campfire and stuff. Do you find how early in the process does that come together? Like, is that something that just naturally we know what we're going with, or is it
I can tell you year. I can tell you the exact point we decided the woods, and it was last year, the day or two we're wrapping up and that stuff
I think it was Saturday.
Saturday, yeah. And Matt DeTurk was standing in their ticket box, and he's like, I want to do a haunted woods.
And then
Dan and I go, sure, we can do that. Yep. All right. Hell yeah, we can do it.
And then that spread like wildfire because it was just the three of you, and then it got to the nine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then we all started scheming.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So Sunday, we're all like, hey, I know what next year's theme.
Yeah, and it was really neat. This year, we decided not. We have not hit a thing yet. It works best. We have had suggestions. You had a couple. I don't want to spoil anything.
Yeah, no.
You had a couple of suggestions.
I have a good
here.
One.
Yeah, but it was like,
it's fine if it's not that. People don't like fun, and I won't take it personal.
But I think we will toss the ideas out because I'm keep doing this as long as until you guys kick me out. Yeah, I want to keep doing themes. So if it may not this year, the more resources we get, the better it'll be. And this year's design, we had a lot. We actually had we planned to do some builds early on too, but just kind of life got kind of in the way. And we actually had I didn't actually use them, but if you went to my studio, there were trees, cardboard full trees wrapped around. We had bases. We actually made interlocking segments to build these trees up, and we just didn't have time to make the skin to make them look right. And nothing hurts me more if I see something and it's not done enough. So the design you saw was actually only done in the past 2-3 weeks when we realized we couldn't quite get the final touch of these big trees. Like if you walk in my studio, there were trees that were, you and I couldn't put my arm around. That's how big the base was to go up and around. And it was just made out of cardboard and cardboard, loose woods and textures that way.
It's good to have the right base. Without a base, without a trace is what I think we all say. So it's a great thing that you have the right base for it.
Yeah.
I think the thing that I enjoyed the most was the campsite.
Yes.
Yeah. That was at the ingenuity to set up those birch trees like that so it looked like it was infinite was really, that blew me away when you had that set up.
If you walked in, I just took half inch thick foam cord. So it's light enough to be light. And if something should fall, it's literally just paper. It's foam. So that's a trick with designing for the little theater. I'm in a historic building, so nothing can touch walls. I can't glue anything. I can't build anything.
Right.
There's only a handful of people. I got added to a list, oddly enough, of artists that can build at historic buildings because I've done George Eastman, Do It This Way, inadvertently, just by my resume, put me in this sort of block there.
Nice.
So it's a foam core is designed that super light foam core, tall can cut up. And my idea was having a bright white with a black backdrop behind it. So these bright, bright white birch trees. And then the backdrop we had picked out was a light background with dark trees fading off in there. So the trick was we're trying to make this feel like this, an infinite room, kind of that barcode black and white. So it kind of worked with the eyes going that way. So we had a blast doing it. Dan stepped in with 10,000 lights and cool fabrics from Matt. And I wanted to have a safe, comfy spot before you go into the chaos.
And maybe so. One of my favorite things was our fake fire, mm-hmm. Which had the lights and the crackle. And then it had a sound effect, which was often just crackling fire. Occasionally a much louder crackling fire that make you go, oh, no. Yes. And then and then other times, murder ballads out of nowhere. So all of a sudden, the fire starts playing banjos. And it was great.
Oh, my God.
It really put you on edge.
We don't want to make you too comfortable. We don't want you to miss your movie.
No, but we love those little zones. We have like the skeleton lounge downstairs. Yeah. We like just the. I'm really enjoying the transition room now. Is we're just having posters and that like the that flickering light. It's just nice.
Yeah,
you don't want to go too much.
That middle lobby there where you get your popcorn and everything. If you look at the posters, I don't know how many times folks have looked, but those are all references to movies that we've run for the most part.
Yeah, yeah. Designed
so,
by
yeah,
Dan.
Yeah, and all designed by Dan, and it's
and put up by very tall people, and not just KP and me with some oars that Matt provided, just slapping them up on top. We were the tallest people in the building that day.
The two tallest people on Anomaly are KP and Meg. If anybody's wondering,
You know, you all keep the ladder. All you like 6 foot. We don't need the ladder. I have an oar.
Yeah.
Well, of course, I always appreciate seeing the "I Love New York Ninja" placard up there.
I make sure it has it goes up every year, and I want it somewhere over at Arch because it's important to remember that we love New York Ninja.
Yes,
his spirit lives in us.
Yeah.
That is a message that could unify this community, this nation, this world.
Here's the thing: it unified all of us for the past how many years now?
That's true.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, we had discussions before the social media folks that just follow us. They're great. But like we had a bunch of different people mention, like, hope you guys are having fun. I so love that New York Ninja showing. It's one of my favorite things.
Whole post.
Yeah.
Where he was like, he couldn't, he was not able to come, but he literally posted photos of like when we played that. I'm like, this year, like in reference to this festival. I was like, oh, man. So you know you did it when someone's like a couple years ago and I still hold that in my heart.
Chad is the best.
He is. Horror Movie Barbecue is his handle if you want to check him out on all the socials.
Absolutely, dude. I know he's been BBQ. On your guys' show.
Not yet.
He has?
He's been exclusive to Punches and Popcorn.
Right? Oh, yeah. We've had him on a few times.
Well, I'm sorry. Excuse me. I'm hearing this for the first time. Everyone, Chad, we were friends. You send me that weird Earl Sinclair photo all the time on social media, and yet you haven't come on our podcast once.
Huntown books the
we're
big
beefing.
Guns.
No, we're beefing now. We're beefing.
Get him on. He's marvelous. We love Chad.
We'll get Chad.
Stop it!
2026 is the year of Chad. For sure.
That is the theme. Could the theme be Chad? If you make it rabbit themed, he will definitely come.
Yeah, it's true. It's very true. So, I think we started setting up on Tuesday, and that ran all the way through to Wednesday, right? So that was...
So the day that people walked in, it's like 5 o'clock, open the doors, the last bit of tape's going on.
Yeah. I was
going
to say, if you walk in and you're early enough, you will hear gaffer tape or painter's tape going on in any number of locations.
I feel like it's always an eternal process, right? Yeah. Like, we get it mostly on Wednesday, but by Friday, we're still adding some more stuff,
There's always details. Look at us. We love details. We had stuff we didn't get a chance to go, we had extra moss and things. So the whole time, I was like, I could be doing this.
Moss it up.
There was stuff on Friday that Saturday there was new stuff. Like every time we have a chance, we're like, I have a little free time. I'm going to add this or add that.
We never stop. Never stop. They kick us out.
We never really think about that because that just means on Monday, that's just that much more we have to tear down. That's the love we have for y'all when we come out.
It's okay. It's worth it for me. I love having an experience that way. So.
Same here.
Speaking of experiences, I want to give a shout out, Carrie. The merch, our designs this year are some of the set design, like building that. But the merch table is on the other side of the lobby. We have this awesome thing there. They turn around and we have that cool picture behind it, and like one of the best displays the best display we've ever had.
The best.
You could see what we were selling and how much it cost and how much we had left of it.
Imagine
it's only year seven. Yeah, it's only year seven.
Right.
Yeah.
You can't rush perfection.
It's true. We needed Carrie to up our game. Absolutely incredible job, Carrie. Thank you so much.
I can't resist the opportunity to basically use what I do for my living to help Anomaly make their living, basically, and keep bringing stuff to Rochester, bringing people into the little theater and the Dryden. Keep it going.
Well, thanks, because it was such a huge part. And we heard it all weekend, how cool it was. Yeah. And your stickers that you put on the table were a huge...
Mm-hmm. People came up and went, that is so cool. What is that? And I went, as a matter of fact.
Yes, thank them right there. This is it. This is this. Thank you.
Without Carrie, this wouldn't be here. It would just be all the stuff piled up on the table and we'd just have to guess.
It's okay. We were eventually going to get around to deciding it. We weren't. I'm sure.
We totally weren't.
No.
And I was like, you guys got other things you're focused on. I can do this.
Killer job. Absolutely.
Yeah, it looked great. It was so professional and...
It was very professional. And I also like that, all the merch is there. You don't have to have the pile in front of it. You have the one example. I want the shirt C and XL. You just point at that. It's there.
It was great.
As a guy who likes having events and having sanity, it was nice to see the merch folks not trying to pull their own hair out.
Like anytime I can kind of take the excessive words out of not only the person trying to buy, but also the people that are trying to sell, that is a moment. A big plus for me, and I basically just wanted to make it not only themed in a very fun and anomalous way, with a little nod to Creepshow,
but
also bring in a lot of mentions to the horror goo and our Gordo dancing on a potato, and so a lot of fun things that I've picked up from Anomaly over the years, and I definitely wanted to draw our potato with a mini eyes because beautiful. I've been like potato. Craving that for years.
They were looking great. They appreciated it because the potato's upset with us.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Because we kept them in a glass box the entire festival. Now, of course, the glass box was the fortune machine, and they were hard at work giving fortunes and eggs to our audience. It was an important job, but I could see day after day I looked into their many eyes, and more they were rage filled. So just a warning for next year. I don't know what they're going
to
do.
They're not used to that kind of work.
Yeah, I know. By Sunday, I was like, I'm sorry, because now it's back in my bedroom where it usually lands. And I'm hearing about it. So I just want everyone to know. It was amazing. Magnus, thank you for the amazing mechanical and design work on that. We are also deeply in trouble.
Yeah, if we don't see Meg next year, we know why.
I'm sorry. It was a really good gimmick. Everyone loved it. I saw children getting fortune eggs. They were full of joy. Isn't that worth anything? Nothing. Silence.
I was
going to
say, I think that's what frustrated it the most. The children.
The children.
I'm bringing joy to children?
Joy to children? Ew. That's not true. We love the kids.
Yeah.
Kids at Anomaly now means kids that'll buy tickets later.
Yeah. Exactly.
Get them early.
It is amazing that the evolution of that potato, I will say, at some point, we have to have a whole show just specifically on the evolution and that potato.
The potato lore.
The potato lore.
Some of it will be true.
I do have a question, though, Carrie. How many Anomalies have you come to?
All of them, except for, obviously, the one that we had to do from home.
That none of us came to? Yeah.
The one that none of us. Yeah. During the panini.
Yeah. Yeah, the gas leak year. That was the one we don't like to think about so much. But that was a fun year too.
Yeah, we existed. That was our second year. We're like first year. We're like, we did a festival, and we didn't lose so much that we can't do it again next year. Yeah, wait, what?
Oh shit.
Oh, but like the tech and everything, like figuring that out. Like it was, we learned how to do a festival, and then had to learn how to do a completely different kind of festival.
Yeah, completely.
That was wild.
Yeah.
We have rebooted this thing 3 times now.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
So
can't kill us.
No, you can't. You can only hope to contain us, and you can't even do that.
Can't even do that.
We can't do that.
No, because we're definitely growing. I mean, like it's the turnout this year was. It was a hustling year.
New faces, new names.
Thank you to everybody who came out for. Yeah. One or multiple shows. Yeah. There were so many people that we saw once on Wednesday, and then all of a sudden it was like they were there all weekend.
Yeah. Yep.
That's awesome.
So thank you so much for the support, everybody. And thank you for coming. I hope everybody had a good time. I guess we'll open it up to Mike and Carrie, because our thing is we open the doors and then you guys come in and check out the movies and all the weird shit we did. So do you have any experiences you'd want to share about your time at the festival this year?
Good ones.
Ooh,
I mean, it doesn't have to be good ones.
No, good ones.
I was just glad to see so many of the filmmakers, the short filmmakers, stick around for many multiple days after their short appeared. that was really fun. I'm like, I know them. They're still here. They're hanging around. This makes me so very happy.
That was super cool. I really enjoyed. We had more filmmakers than we've ever had before.
Yeah.
And a high percentage of them stayed for almost the entire show. Like Meredith Berg from Tether was there. Yeah.
Until it snowed.
Until it snowed. Like,
that was endearing.
I was like, oh no, snow. And then I walk outside while somebody's filming and Meredith comes out. And it's like, snow. And I'm like, oh, right. You're from California. Bless.
Right. This is magical.
Yeah. Yeah. Novelty.
Austin folks, LA folks.
Oh, yeah.
We gave you snow. It was on purpose and not like a depressing thing. We said, oh no. They were like, snow.
We got more shots of our marquee with the Anomaly name shared out on socials that day. It was amazing. So, yeah. Yes. Okay, yeah, we had 25
different filmmakers coming in from multiple different films from all over LA, Austin, local. We had Zelda Adams come in from the Adams family of Hellbender fame, and
The rest of the Adams family were in Europe traveling. Yeah,
that's right.
So she was
she was keeping the home fire stoked and coming to hang out with us, which was really cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It was phenomenal. I mean, like it's. Dust Bunny, the opening thing, the volley we had there was like one hell of a powerful opener for this thing. Great show, pulled people in, everyone's excited. Oh my God.
People seem to really dig that. I think that's coming up at the Little in a week or two.
Yeah,
December. And I had more than one people when they wandered out of the theater go, it's kind of like if Pixar made John Wick. And I was like, I wish I would have known that prior to, because that is totally the way I would have described that to people. Because I was like, you know, it's kind of like dark fantasy. It's like a thing. And then they were like, Pixar John Wick. And I was like, hell yeah.
I think I mentioned that to you.
Yeah.
Because I was like,
you did.
I think it was, because it's just charming and so heartfelt. And then also just, it's not just happy sunshine and rainbows. There's drama involved, and so then there is also the incredible action scenes, and then just beautiful comedy and beautiful scenery. Also, oh, that's right, it was Wes Anderson as well. If Pixar Wes Anderson and the like gung fu choreographers of The Matrix came together to make a crazy kids movie.
I always had the Leon the Professional.
That's
what I feel is a little bit of a sprinkling on of an energy about it. So truly, truly magical. And that I had one of the people that walked up and was like, it was amazing. I walked in. It's one of the first times I've had to be in a theater being like, oh, I hope we can get seats together. And that's how the pack was in there. The last bit, people got in there.
Amazing.
So,
that's wild.
Yeah. So
thank you, everybody, for coming out.
Yeah.
I hope everybody was able to get a potato that wanted one. Because traditionally we are now doing a baked potato bar when we open the doors for our pass holders. So if you want to get in on the action, come and get a potato.
Buy a pass.
Buy a pass.
And we'll give you a baked potato.
Yeah.
It's a good deal.
And you can promise that the great potato will not be furious with us.
I mean, here's the thing. The potato was in the box.
I'm realizing.
Staring at the potato bar the entire time.
Oh, boy. That was a
error. I've been hearing about it.
Yeah. That was.
I handed it off quick when I gave it to you. Like, here you go. We're done. It's yours now.
Yeah. Though they might see it as getting rid of challengers. Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I haven't asked. I'm scared.
I wonder if it's like the stuff. If you eat potatoes, then he can control you better. If you have more potatoes in you.
Buy a pass. We'll give you a potato and you can find out.
Yeah, there you go.
Mind control. Mm-hmm. I mean, dinner.
Why not both?
Why not both?
People love that, though. Our potato bar. It's like people are elated when they walk in. Potatoes.
Yeah.
They're so excited. It
brings us joy.
It does.
Yeah. Like, yay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Ooh, speaking of little killer creatures, that opening night, the short in front of our second film, One Night Cherub, the entire like filmmaking group, including Austin King, the filmmaker, came. And this is the most important thing. They brought the little killer cherub with them. Demi, I'm friends with this little guy now. Is he a killer? Yes. Does he maybe need to deal with like his feelings on like pleasure and sexuality? Absolutely.
Absolutely.
But he's also a little killer critter, and I love him so much.
Aww, those
look
are the best.
Yeah, I got a photo. I'm like, we're buddies now. Look. But you never know what celebrities are going to show up. Sometimes it's a killer cherub from a short.
The excitement on your face.
Yeah, well, yeah, because like
I saw it happening. I was like, "You have what? Oh my god! Yeah. You like I
got to peek in the bag first. I'm like, I'm sorry, what's happening? Like, Magnus, like, come over. I'm like, what?
You here?
Oh, like, what? Like, just opens up a bag like it's an illicit substance, and instead it's a killer cherub staring up at me. I'm like, oh, anomalies, magic, anything can happen.
So he did a bunch of photos, and you were wearing merch at the end of it. He's like, oh, I should put the thing away. I'm like, oh no, you need to go to merch right now. And he's like, what? And I point. I'm like, Meg was here, and he was like, oh my. He was excited to show you because you were so excited to do it, to actually have the unveil, the real official, not hiding in a bag. So.
I was going to say,
I love them.
I think that was one of my happiest moments, was not just seeing Meg's reaction to the cherub, but seeing their reacting to Meg seeing the cherub. Because
emotions are on my face, y'all. Yes. I can't help it.
It was Christmas morning times 10 for about four people standing in a circle. Wonderful. Next to the
I cannot. It's a highlight reel for multiple people in that role right there. Yeah.
Heartwarming. Oh my
god.
So. I mean, and speaking of monsters, I mean, we also got to see Melvin the Devourer.
Yeah, we did.
I have a tremendous stop motion movie. I am Frank Elder, but how was it to see that on the big screen there?
I was happy. Melvin the Devourer is an idea of Roy, who helped us, projectionist. Roy is Roy himself. Oh my God, check out Roy. Will Work for Fame is his film studio, and he's been working on this fun little this creature idea that's like a monster that eats film that grows in size. And there's so many hours of footage that he's done, different scripts, and he's like turning it into like an episodic thing. And it's been a fun journey to watch Roy create this sort of stuff. And so he asked me, he's like, hey, can you make a little – well, actually, first he bought a monster from a guy online, which technically wasn't his – like, it was a creature, but like, it's not your creature.
Hey, it's Pauly Guglielmo, host of the Pauly Guglielmo Show here on the Lunchador Podcast Network, where we talk entrepreneurship and all of the trials and tribulations, pitfalls and rewards, and there are many, of owning a small business. We do interviews with some of your local favorite business owners, learning how they built their brands, the struggles they faced along the way, and what they have in store for the future. And sometimes it's just me detailing my own daily wins and losses. It's called the Pauly Guglielmo Show. Show, and I'd be honored if you'd check it out. New episodes come out every Sunday morning.
Welcome to the world of Punches and Popcorn, where we dive into the bone-breaking and kung-fu-kicking world of martial arts cinema. Join us on the path as we explore a new movie every episode, discussing the history, fighting styles, science, and more from a broad range of fight films. Everything from Bruce Lee to Jean-Claude Van Damme to John Wick. There's plenty of room in our temple of couch potato style. So listen in and subscribe to Punches and Popcorn on your favorite podcast app.
If you make a movie of it, that's that guy's likeness. Mm-hmm. He's not, you know, it's like, you know. And he's like, well, can you make one for me? I'm like, yeah, sure, why not? And it's actually funny, the Melvin's based on a little kid that one ex used to babysit. As this kid with a really big smile, he's like little Joker, a little like. And I'll show a picture to it. You're like, oh my god, it is Melvin's face. This little tiny child, his face. Yeah. You know? So it's a little monster going through there. And then over the years, he asked me to make. I've made. There's a puppet. There's a human sized version. There's a latex one that's kind of half made right now. And Roy is kind of a skate punk guy, so he's been footage and just doing like really interesting films of like the skate culture. So Melvin is kind of done on super low budget, and but is also like a designed to be kind of rough around the edges, fun skater punk monster. And yeah, so it was awesome to see. Of course, I'm a person, all I see is the faults in everything I make. So I'm just like, oh, it's a big screen. I can see all the, yeah, but I had a blast. It was a great turnout. And I was there for Roy. I have fun making stuff. He wants to make something. He's, you know, and it's shoestring budget. Funny thing is part of those monsters is actually the second time it's been inside the Anomaly movies. Morrow, one of the characters in that monster, he's like a 10-foot tall troll. Had to make, yeah. And Matt Roberts was wearing the suit in that thing, and but the monster came from the Drumlins, the Beyond the Drumlins, our movie. This where when Dan and them made another movie in the past, the monster from that part of the body you scrapped and used junk pile. So that monster has appeared twice in Anomaly. Oddly enough,
that's amazing.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So yeah, Roy, I'm like, I'm using the spare monster parts over there, and he's like, yes. So.
Very rarely are you in a. Can you be sitting down watching a short and going, was it filmed here?
Yes.
Like, maybe on where I'm sitting right now. Mm-hmm. But yes, Melvin could be anywhere. You know, he was lives there, in this theater.
Yeah. It was literally filmed in that thing, which is great. It's neat to work with Roy. He takes what he has around him and makes awesome stuff happen. He's an unusual duck, and I'm glad he's part of the Anomaly. You know, more just been just the film. Now he's been a filmmaker at Anomaly now. So,
and it was so cool. It screened on his birthday, and like,
oh wow,
yeah, 50th birthday. He had his movie out,
and he gave a very eloquent speech, which was, "Roy, do you want to have any words to say?" And he's like, "No,
yeah, not really."
it was Bravo. I was like, "There we go. That's iconic.
It's perfect. Right. It's so good."
Yeah. So I want to celebrate that guy. Glad he did it. It was neat to see on there, and it's a fun project. He's got a lot of stuff going on. There's so much in his head, and helping him bring anything out that way, I love that. I love helping a filmmaker make something happen. And it's funny, I was talking to a bunch of people who made different props, and they're like, they saw the giant troll. I'm like, oh my God, how much did a troll cost you to make? And I was like, I think I made like $800 into it. And the guy's like, what? And he pointed at it, like the thing in my film, where the stuff he's working on, he's like, yeah, that was like $3,000 for me to make that thing. I'm like, I am amazing at what I can make on a shoestring budget. When I say shoestring, this is a punk budget, man.
And that thing is massive, because I remember seeing that in your studio. I stopped by for something and I walked in and it is bigger than me. I'm not a small guy. It was huge. It took up like almost the whole
room. It was over 9.5 feet tall is one of the costumes.
Yeah,
it's just a lot of the most expensive part is the PVC and the fur I just get from everything else. I have a monster pile at my studio, which is hysterical.
So That's awesome.
But yeah, no, it was great. I'm Frank Helda, that was a phenomenal thing to have for the Anomaly Film Festival.
Yeah,
gorgeous.
People absolutely loved it. It ended up being the runner up for best feature.
Yeah.
Like and everybody seemed to universally really enjoy it. The TV show that it kind of spawned from is on HBO Max. HBO Go. HBO.
It's Max. We're back to Max. HBO Max. Okay.
It's like five episodes.
Yeah.
It's
five. Yeah.
So yeah, if you want to check it out before Frank Helda hits screen soon. I think it's probably in the next few months.
Well, it'll be interesting if this will complete a trilogy or 3-year streak now of Anomaly having a movie that was shown in Anomaly nominated for Best Animated Picture.
It's possible, because we did hear this might be the cut that we saw may not be the cut that you see, because that everybody else sees when it screens.
Yeah.
Because Guillermo del Toro really loved it, and now he's helping them polish it up for
I would love to see what the final product that way. As a film nut, I'd like to see what the magic of editing can do. And just Oh, wow.
So if you happen to see it in Anomaly, that may be the only time you'll see it, that version.
Wow. Very cool. Yeah, and that was a blast, too. Like, it was such an engaging movie to watch, and I still have like the lyrics stuck in my head, but I don't remember the lyrics.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's just ringing in my head like for hours a day. But it was just such a delight that you had emotions, and it was fantastical, and it was just a great expression of passion in an animated movie.
And kids could go to it.
Yes.
Yeah. Gotta try to have one.
Yeah.
Yes. it's worked out well so far.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was the one that won best Flow. Film?
Flow last year. Yeah.
Oh, what was the one that won best the fan vote for Anomaly this year?
This year.
Oh, let's slide. Segue.
Good segue.
Yeah.
It's actually the film that came on right afterwards. It Ends.
Oh, nice.
The closer. Oh.
Yeah.
Which I feel like blew a lot of minds and broke a lot of hearts.
Yes.
It's one that we all enjoyed immensely when we saw it. I missed the group screening, but from what I hear, that was the longest conversation y'all ever had.
Oh, yeah. Like 20 minutes or so. Wow. We were just talking like, okay, let's decompress. And like, what did that mean? What, like, before we even started talking about like, oh, should we show this? We're like, okay, we got to figure this out, which I think this is absolutely going to be one of those films that like, when your friends are like, oh, I want something new and different to watch. Like, okay, let me hit you with this. You know, it's like going to be the film that film lovers know and like suggest, like, you want to watch something that's kind of low key and it's going to blow your mind and you pop on It Ends. Mm.
Mm-hmm.
I had multiple people afterwards, cause I was working the gimmick station. And number one, longest conversations after a movie universally. Everybody came out and had their pizza, and then I think everybody stayed back in the inner lobby for a while and talked about it, and then it kind of spilled out towards me. And as it spilled out towards me, I heard a lot of people say, I can't wait to get home and show this one to my friends. Mm. This is one of my all-time favorite movies now. This is something that I'm going to shit like. And 45 minutes of drilling down into what this thing could have been.
Yeah.
And that's a sign of something that really hit, and obviously it shows. It was voted best feature in the entire festival.
It's a big win for Adam too. The lineup this year was done so well. Not just like, I mean, the pacings go back and forth. The shorts program's phenomenal, but to end with it ends. I mean, this it looks good too. I think it ends
with
also, and hope is.
Yeah, but also it's just like genuinely a good ender.
The good ender. Yeah. He was excited for it. He was talking about it. It's one he was excited to see and watch the audience interact with it. So it was neat from a person from both sides watching all of us excited to watch the chance to share it with folks, and then the people coming out. I still hear about it now. People are asking, you know.
Yeah.
Good.
So. Yeah, I think I had an existential like deconstruction with KP after. It was just like, oh yeah, I guess I would have been the one driving forever.
Oh, I think I owe some apologies too. Okay, so listen, if I handed you a Clif Bar before you entered the theater and you asked me, does this have any thematic relevance to the film? And I smiled and said, no, it's just a Clif Bar. Okay, I lied to you a little, and I think you knew that I was lying. People didn't seem to trust me. For some reason, Anomaly handing out stuff before a movie that seems to have no connection. Maybe it does have a connection. Yeah, it was fun. We were being a little cheeky. Did you eat it, though? Did you eat it before you knew? I'm just curious. Anyway, I'm sorry, but also you're welcome. It was pretty good, right?
That would be a good social media poll to throw out there.
That's good. I'm right.
You should do it. Because I definitely ate mine before.
It was also the last movie, so I can understand why you ate it.
Yeah. You're like, oh.
Yeah. Once it hits full release, that would be a fun one.
I actually love listening to the once you get past the door and all the people are sitting in the seat waiting for something to go. Because everyone's now know each other. People have been there for years. Right. They're seeing each other. I'll be on the balcony. It's like listening in. They're like, what do you think this is going to be about? I listen to the heads, people talking about it. I'm like, oh, this is my favorite part.
You're right not to trust.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, my God.
You're right.
It's so great. And that's kind of the interesting thing. Going back to giving Adam his flowers, because I always have to do it 1,000 times.
Yeah.
I feel like when people have heard Anomaly in the past, they've been like, oh, it's the horror movie festival.
Yeah.
We're lucky. And we're super not that. But I think this year was the first year where you showed up and went, oh, no, they're not the horror movie festival. There's such and I don't want to just say that to toot our own horns. Like, please feel free to weigh in. Like, I should ask, and this isn't loading you up, but like, what was that your perception of Anomaly going in, or like, you know what I mean?
So before the first Anomaly I attended, which definitely was the virtual one. My thought was that I'm like, oh, it's like weird horror. But then the first Anomaly movie that I like rented to watch at home was Paper Tigers.
Oh, yeah.
Fits in my stuff. And I was like, oh, this is cool. And it kind of opened my eyes to what genre film is. And I think that it fits like our film community in like Rochester, Buffalo. Like, we have such a strong base of genre film fans. And we had like, think of like the things like Saturday Night Rewind and not even just that, like The Little does their own like our themed showings, and that's this diverse range of genre films. So I always feel like, oh, I know there's going to be some horror, and I definitely like when I look at the lineup, I'm looking at like, okay, what's the horror? And then I'm like, ooh, is there anything martial arts or action adjacent in here? And then I film the rest. I'm like, okay, well, then the rest, what else is like interesting?
Priorities.
And I'm there for the horror and the brain messing around with my brain. Yes. And then I sometimes get my emotions messed with, and I don't appreciate that, but I stick around for it anyway, I love it.
You were like after the was it the South Korean movie?
Oh my God.
Oh yeah. Useful Ghost.
Useful Ghost. That was so good.
Carrie was shook up a little bit.
You asked me about the next film. I can't do this again.
It was like, if you're going to hit me in the feels again, where I'm like,
yeah, no, understood. I'm not cruel like Adam. I either go to
you or Matt
stuff.
Because I'm just like, tell me.
We're like, no, don't worry about it.
Am I going to be able to catch this later? A.
Yep.
And B, if I can't catch this later, is it going to mess with me right now? Because I can't.
Yep. I got it.
But best, like, we're not trying to catch anyone. Like, we want you to have a good experience. We want you to have like my girlfriend, she is not a fan of, I curate. She's like, well, I like this one. I'm like, no. Like, you know, you'll enjoy for some aspects of it, but you're not going to like, this is not your thing. But when it is her thing, she loves, like, I mean, we see people that show up, specifically, like, what movie should I watch? I get text messages all weekend, like, what? I'm like, come to Obex. You're going to love Obex. Yeah. Oh, my God. And I had a bunch of people show up, like, I'm here for my suggestions, you know. So
yeah, and I have to say, I love the amount of black and white films. Like, I do love that modern usage of black and white.
Yeah.
And between Obex and Manny Wolf and In the Mouth, I loved all three of those. And that, like, that usage of modern black and white was so delightful. And I loved Obex. What a weird journey that had, like, two separate whole vibes. I loved that first half of that movie so much. Mm-hmm. It was so much fun. Like, it was just such a great meditation on loneliness or being apart from people. But it wasn't sad. It wasn't depressing. It was just somebody who had found delight in his dog creating something for somebody else. And Carrie keeps on imploring me. I have to see the first movie that was in Anomaly with him.
Oh, too. You felt my thoughts burrowing into your brain as you're talking? Yeah. I'm glad.
Excellent.
That movie was so good. So Strawberry Mansion was so good that I went to a Strawberry Mansion party last year. There are actually people that went there and talked about it.
Holy cow.
So we actually went, and I actually brought a bucket of chicken.
Yeah, I was like, awesome. Chicken.
Branded it all that way. So I actually went to a Strawberry Mansion party. That's how much people were impressed by the movie. They had to show it to other people. They got it. Wow. So yeah. So definitely worth checking it out. But yeah, that's Alfred Brennan.
Someday. Someday Bernie. He'll see it.
Bernie.
Oh, and we mentioned Manny Wolf, which was the Audience Award winner for Best Short. Yeah. Our buddy Manny Wolf. Listen, we're all big Manny supporters here, and we just want to see him succeed. Now, I know it is in the past. Okay, I know he's a wolf man, not a werewolf, a wolf man, and he's just trying to make it in Hollywood in 1930s. Turns out that's tough because they kind of like stereotype you into one role.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But he's not, our boy Manny, he's not playing
depth.
That.
And he's got depth, man.
You just followed every day. I'm like, yes. Yes, I need you to hit. And now I'm like, oh, but he doesn't exist. I can't go and see his, like, whole, like, back. Like, the Dryden will never show a retrospective of Manny Wolf films, and it breaks my ass.
More the poorer for it.
In Othello.
I loved his charisma, too, because he was so charismatic. Yeah. But, like, when, like, the flop sweats hit, it was like, oh, God, it was, you just felt that crushing moment, but it was such a complete thought, and I would love to see that expanded.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Which is when you see, like, when you go to the shorts program, you're like, oh, I want to see that one expanded.
Yes.
Ooh, so that's actually what I want to touch on. So that was probably outside of, I mean, I think I'm still trying to digest It Ends, because that was phenomenal.
Fair enough,
The Useful Ghost, like, the same thing. I mean, like, everything, right? But this is, so the times that I've come before and, like, done the pass and gone to the whole thing, I typically skip the shorts just because it usually is like, well, so the problem is, and you can yell it, but I'm like, it's often Saturday morning and with kids, that it's is tough. The sweet spot for family.
Sure.
But there's also a part where I'm like, oh, I don't know. But I'll admit there's part of me that was always like, okay, how am I really going to want to sit through like 2 hours of shorts?
Stop whining.
But I made a point. I went to the shorts the Saturday morning.
Yeah.
And I, oh my Lord, I loved every single one of those.
Yes.
They were so different.
Yeah.
But there
Got
was
em. Stellar.
There was stuff like that, like the cruelty with this woman getting chased. Yeah. I was absolutely terrified. Like, I in the seat, like I could feel my heart. There was times where I felt like I almost thought that I needed to, like, get up and walk out of the theater because I needed to look. I'm not a young man. And
that's our goal. That's our,
you know, we've talked before about how, you know, I went through this injury this summer and I spent a lot of time on the couch, so I don't really know that my heart rate was ready for it. But, like, then you had one like Amira that I won't even want to say anything about. Yeah. Just if you have the chance to see this, I promise you, it is not what you think it is.
Nope. The whole time.
And
no point while you're watching do you think it is. I was twist, so many
it
twists.
It blows your mind.
Yes. It's what we talked about. There's certain shorts when we just, like, this is in. This one spoke to us. This one stands for the Graham.
I think I was the first one who saw Amira we're going through. And I remember writing down, everybody watch this now. Like, everyone has to watch this now. Okay.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm going to fight over a short, this might be the one I fight over.
Yep.
Right. Like, at first, just looking at it, because I remember my first thought of it was, this is beautiful with all the candlelight.
Yeah, Baroque
and all that
era.
Right. It's gorgeous, right? And then it's. Like, oh wow, it's gonna blow your. And I don't want to like anything else. But then you like followed that up with Evil Dinner, which speaking
another
of our friend,
one I would have fought for.
Speaking of our friend Chad, he is who I thought of immediately when I saw this. I was like, this movie is Chad to a T.
I see it.
So Chad, we got to make sure Chad sees this because it's I love it. And then it was. You know, an ending with Tether, which was just this fantastic. And I like even like the message of it. And that was such a great way to kind of end that session. And then having the filmmakers come up, I forget the director of this when she came up, Meredith. And like talking about. So Ming-Na Wren
is like the voice of the captain.
And hearing her talk about. Getting to interact with Ming is incredible.
Those are my favorite things, the Q&As, and I'm glad she hung around. She made a universe, and she's, no pun intended, but she's going to make more.
Well, Sky and I had a great conversation with her at the merch table where she was talking about how she wants to flesh it out and the different parts of the story that she wants to flesh out as a feature. And, like, to get that have experience to, like, listen to a filmmaker go, I made this, but I want to do this.
Right.
And then would be like, full support, all the full support energy.
You can make that idea in a short film. Because we get so many shorts sent to us. And this is not a slight on short filmmakers, not height-wise, but like they, editing, like some people, their stuff's too sacred. It's tough. We get bombarded. I mean, hundreds sent to us. I love shorts. Shorts program, reason I will fight, I love opening for the shorts program. I love the shorts program because that you have a little window to also like from nothing to your heart beating to like three, and you're done. I mean, so having her there, it was just what an experience, like I said. But I trust her. I'm like, you already did it so well here.
Right.
Arm you with a budget and we will be there for it. I will watch it.
100%.
And then other shorts program stuff. So then we've had several local shorts makers and the runner up. For the audience award for best short was a local filmmaker with sketchy characters.
Sketchy characters,
Which is it's just great to see because like we don't influence the audience awards. Yeah. We genuinely just want to see what people like.
Yeah.
And when a local short hits, like that feels extra great because we want to give a little space. Like we are the Rochester Genre Film Festival, so we like to keep the Rochester in there too. So between that short and then. We played Evenly Matched, which was a local short in front of Cannonball at the Dryden. So to be able to show like a filmmaker locally on the screen at the Dryden is like amazing. Yeah. You know?
Can we talk about Cannonball for at least a minute? Because
I'm controlling myself. I would speak the entire hour about Cannonball if allowed.
What a delight that was to see that another like killer poll from Jared.
Yeah.
You know, and the whole, you know, the team over at the Dryden pulling something like that out of the vault.
Mm-hmm. Jared is a champion vault diver.
Yeah.
And
he
pulled, a half a dozen different.
Yeah. We were once a month, we would kind of, he'd pull something out and be like, hey, what about this? In fact, this is the longest. Usually it's a last minute because we're anomaly and we get overwhelmed. But this year we're like, hey, we want to really put extra time. Mm-hmm. You know, and kind of choose instead of going like that.
Surprise. I
mean,
so did you get to go like to the Dryden and watch these?
Maybe we were only a couple people at the theater like watching something that was kind of pulled just for us. And did I maybe see Corvette Summer with like maybe two other people in the theater? And it was a special cut that they showed on TV. Wow. So I was like, maybe I'm special.
Maybe.
That will tell you the level of stuff that Jared's pulling from the vaults too. It was the TV cut of Corvette Summer. So like it's getting really, really drilled in. Yeah. So like
Well, that's it. You know, it's a dream of mine to have Jared someday come on to Punches and Popcorn.
Because
I just want to drill him about
what
crazy stuff do you have that I actually want him to come and then our other buddy Chris Pajali to come on and just have these two talk about like movies that I have never heard of, and they're both like, "Oh yeah, obviously." Like, how do you not know the?
I'm not gonna lie, you could probably ask Jared, and he'd be up for it, especially if you throw Chris out there.
Right.
I would. Mm-hmm. I'd set up for like 4 hours.
Yeah.
But like Cannonball, it was. It's so lovely. Actually, if I remember correctly, it was the first of the. Everyone got really interested in the 70s about the cross country car race that was happening. So of course, let's make a movie about it. And yeah, being a Corman film, yeah, it came out early because they did it quickly, right? So it's like Cannonball Run and it's like Gumball Rally, where it's about a cross-country race. But it's directed by Paul Bartel, who had just done a car race movie called Death Race 2000.
Yes.
Did not like doing car race movies. Roger Corman's like, okay, that one didn't do great. How about we do it again in current time? Do you want to make a film that you didn't want to make, but again? And Paul's like, no. I guess, as long as I get to fill it with gags. And he did.
Can we do it now, but faster?
Yeah, it was fantastic. Yeah. He's like, Paul was like, I did not want to make this film, but he got to have all his like director buddies. Like, if you were hanging around set, you got to be that little baby Joe Dante, little baby Alan Arkush. They're in the film. Is really? Martin Scorsese and They're Sylvester Stallone show up for no reason? Yeah, because they were on set. Did Paul Bartel write music that sounds like Noel Coward and like play it almost the entire song? Yes, he did, because it was all he was keeping himself interested, and we are all the richer for it.
Yeah, play that whole Cole Porter song for Dick Miller, all for him to go. That's not Cole Porter.
Yeah, this is gone.
It's such a great bit.
Oh yeah, Dick Miller's in this.
Dick Miller's
in this. This is the most important thing.
That's sign of quality.
That's
right there.
Everyone's like, I can tell like people are having probably as good a time as you can have on a set where you're just like, go. And he gave us car crashes. Did he give us a car crash? He gave us so much car crash end. I'm like, 80% of the budget, this car crash. It's almost like he's like, oh, you want some, Roger? Bam, bam. Oh, we're not done yet. Bam, bam. 5 minutes later, there's still cars heading for the crash.
I can't explain the depth of laughter that happened at the first row of the balcony when the car crashes decided never to stop.
Never stop.
It was like, you know what? Like, you know what? The Blues Brothers are like, oh God, we have to tone this down for the Blues Brothers mall scene. Yes. We have to tone this down. That was way too much. And that's how much we got to see. Yeah. It was truly spectacular just to see what I can't believe this is continuing to happen. And I also couldn't believe the amount of time that David Carradine had a fully unzipped hoodie, sweatshirt, and an ascot on. I was blown away. It
like,
was 90% of the movie.
No shirt.
Was that why
no
you're wearing it right now? I was wondering. Yeah.
This is why I was going. I was trying to find an ascot to wear when I was doing the introduction. I could not make it happen. It really disappointed me. Missed opportunities.
But that's what the Dryden can be. Is we can find something real fun. Okay, listen. War of the Dragons. That was the first Dryden one we showed.
Yes. Oh my God.
Was it? No, it's When Dragons
When
Fly.
Dragons
when Dragons
Fly.
Yeah.
You know what? In some like Singapore or like
I think
or
that
like
was
Qatar,
one of the alternatives.
It probably was called.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Okay, so if we play another martial arts one, at this point we really set ourselves up.
Yes.
Because I'm like, how do we beat that? So right. I feel like there's a wait. Like when the next martial arts film comes, it's either going to be a Stone Cold classic or match When Dragons Collide.
It's hard.
In
I mean,
it's so
WTFness.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Like we can't like half-ass it now. We kind of hit a pinnacle, kind of by accident. And unless we have something that matches that coffin scene, we can't do it.
Yeah. Oh my God.
How long is the coffin? Like 10 minutes of the coffin just floating.
It's just vibing out in the ocean.
High watermark for Anomaly.
Jazz Funk Immigrant Song is what I want played at
my
funeral.
Yes!
That guy is so good.
So we're looking. I want you to know that we're looking. We're
always on the hunt. And maybe my favorite giveaway from Anomaly this year.
Oh, yes. Okay, so when I knew that we were playing Cannonball, we like to do fun giveaways and stuff.
Oh, what'd you give away?
Oh, yeah, so I was like, hey, how about this? How about we do a button? And first I was like, okay, we'll just like do the poster. No, I said, or check this out, right? Because I know I can get a copy of this like on YouTube. It's not the best version, but and I realized the most important scene of the movie is when Paul Bartel, the director, is playing like the crime boss, and he's visited by, I'm assuming, the mafia, but he's played by Martin Scorsese and Sylvester Stallone, and they're just eating KFC. So I was like, what if I got that scene? Can I find a clip of that scene that would be encapsulated, a single image that we put on a 1-inch button, and then hand it out after? Because we hand it out before, it doesn't mean anything. And then Matt knows how to hand out a gimmick, is going handing them out at the end, going like, Martin Scorsese and Sylvester Stallone eating KFC? Martin Scorsese and Sylvester Stallone eating KFC?
I mean, how could you... Boom. How could you resist that?
Thank you. I was like, you know what? We did it. I want to honor this movie in the correct way.
It was so fun.
I'm so mad I missed that to go watch the Sabres lose a hockey game.
Oh, no.
The fact that you went to see the Sabres over anything we're showing at the Dryden.
The Sabres who scored not a single goal.
Thanks, yeah. Buffalo. Yeah.
They may not have scored to this day. Yeah, but...
Dude, the Dryden, having Anomaly take place at the Dryden, just makes me feel like we're doing something really freaking cool.
Yeah, are we getting away with something?
Yeah.
Murder.
We're back. You haven't chased us out with brooms? Dude, get out of here.
I got a chance to listen to some of the filmmakers coming in. They're like, oh, do you know they did something at the George Eastman Museum? Anomaly does? They're like, they pair with the George. Because they're, I mean, from out of town, George Eastman, the museum, it's truly a thing. Like, you know, I mean, it's a thing here as well, but it's such they pair. Like, yeah. And I lean in, I'm like, actually, with Megan, they should go and choose together. It's just not just like they toss something at us. We work on it to put it together.
There's no nitrate here, but then they let us in.
Yes.
Watch weird stuff.
Yeah, it was neat to like hear, like, you know, kind of fly on the wall, listen to them talking about what's going on. Because I think the same thing. Like having us, plus it's a good reprieve for us. We have Wednesday, have a crazy Wednesday. Yeah. And then we get a chance to enjoy having it somewhere else. The morning of, we get to kind of set up and do some more cleaning and do more sets and stuff. But yeah, being at the Dryden really makes me feel like, damn it, we're good.
Yeah,
it's like
we're
having a sleepover at somebody else's house.
Exactly.
Well, and it's just so cool because I think to me it's one of the things that is special about Rochester is we have such an incredible film community here and bringing those together. And I mean, Anomaly is a part of it. Like I already talked about the movies like Robot Dreams and Flow that had Oscar nominations. One of them won an Oscar last year. And we saw it here before it was... anywhere else that I know of.
Yeah.
And, but that's not, I mean, there's been so many films that have been shown at Anomaly that have then become like big buzz films like Skinamarink and, you know, so many. Yeah. So, I mean, it's, and this is what I always to like anyone that likes genre, again, not just a horror, like stress that like, man, you guys, like, you're the tastemakers.
This is a film town.
You have such a great, like, The Nine, our film Nazgul.
we go by fellowship, but I guess.
Yeah, wow.
You know.
The fellowship of the Nazgul. Just,
right.
That works.
But yeah, you do such an incredible job of watching films that, like, and again, from a wide range of, like, this is scary, this is heartwarming, like, man, they're always
trippy.
Just
but that. I mean, we have
they're so good, but they're always movies that you walk away from, and like you have to digest them, right? Mm-hmm. Like the quality is always incredible. So I always hats off to all of you that watch and select these, and it's amazing.
Plus, I love that. Like I will take it all in. Om nom nom. I'm gonna eat them all. But love that. Like. You guys have been making lists for folks that don't want the gore or don't want the whatever, or they're for kids or whatever. So you make safe lists and also like trigger warnings, which is really, really forward thinking and very helpful for folks that do not have an omnivore diet with films like myself and Melvin the Devourer.
That's something that we've taken really seriously, I think, almost since day one. We try to watch everything and take copious notes to make sure that we're not pulling somebody new an experience they're not prepared for, because we know how terrible that can be.
We also want to serve the films. Like, right. I don't think it's putting your best foot forward if you're not telling people, like, hey, this is the film and this is what's in it. If that's not something you want to engage with, that's okay. Like, that, it's a disservice to everyone involved, you know? Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's nothing worse than having a person who clearly is not enjoying the film in the theater. If I'm enjoying it, I take a lot of people around me in. That's why I like theater, because it can kind of vanish off there. But we take a lot of energy. Like when we added the we need to have our trigger warnings or just concerns, content warnings, something else. When we're film, when now it's such an integral part. It's base level. When you watch something, like the first part of a review is like, here's the
exactly. Anytime we screen anything, those are usually like the first three lines of whatever the content warnings are. I mean, it's also just being nice to each other too, because we know that everybody has their own level, and you know.
Yeah, it can change day to day. You're like, hey, do you want to engage with this today?
And there's been a handful of ones. One was like, this is heavy. I'm like, no, like content warning, whatever it may be. Yeah. Like, I don't have that in me right now. Because I want to be in the right headspace. Because we watch a lot of films. But also, what I love about it is when we're getting close to it, we have a list of our yeses. And we're like, oh, we have maybe amazing horror films in there, but we don't have all of them that way. We actually be like, no, we need some action here. We need to have the indescribable needs to be here somewhere. So because we get so many amazing submissions that we could easily have a whole just all horror all the way that way.
Yeah. You know,
it's a heavy genre film tend to lean that way a bit.
Yeah.
But the way we like clearly stack it so it's that full flavor of all choice. It's an amazing thing that you know, the team
well programmed. And the shorts are always well paired with the films. Like always, which is funny. That's... Now I'm like, why did I not think I would like short? Because I always loved the shorts before.
No, that's a thing though. A lot of people don't go for shorts, and it's just you're not used to it. You're from TV shows and movies.
Right.
You see more people liking shorts now, younger generations, because of YouTube and social media. And that makes sense. So they're realizing, oh, a short thing is great. Your age group and same mind. People don't go for shorts films. They're not used to it. They're not trained for it.
Right.
You know, but once you see it, you're like, oh my God.
It's interesting though, because not to go fully off track, but like my parents never thought that. And then they went to the Oscar shorts programs at the Little, which by the way, when it gets to be Oscar time, they do all the nominated shorts.
Yes.
Both the
I'm so doing that this year. I keep saying
documentary shorts and otherwise. And they were like, we had such a great time with that. And I think it really is. And Carrie, I'm going to steal something that you said to me a couple years ago where you were like,
thief.
I love going to the shorts because it's such a mix of all the different genres.
Yes.
You know, not to take the words out of your mouth. Well, if you want to talk more about it, please do.
I do. But also, I mean, it is, it's like going to a buffet and trying every little piece that you possibly can. And like, oh, I don't know what that is. I'm going to put it on my plate and give it a try. I also, when I hear, oh, I don't want to go for the shorts, or when I'm tired on Saturday morning and I'm like, I can't, I was here for the late show on Friday night and now I'm dead. I'm going to miss them. I feel like I lose health. I lose health by missing out on the shorts because I worry that I will never get to see them again. Because they may be, it may be a perfect little bite-sized, beautiful film that may be available on YouTube. It may never be available to me.
Dude,
ever
there's a
handful
that I want to see now. I tell people about, and I can't find them. I mean, like we
I was
have
gonna
the.
Say, there's a lot of lost media. Out
yeah.
There.
Oh my God. There's some things that I still talk about, and I can't think of hand right now. But like being trying to be like, oh my God, we need to find this, and we even have the contact with some of the filmmakers. I could probably do that way, but you know, there's not streaming here behind whatever. It's not. It's tough.
Yes.
Oh my God.
So. Yeah, we did branch out. We had two shorts programs this year. So Mike, if you can't make it out on Saturday morning, cut out of work early on Friday.
It's happening.
Because we'll I know your boss is way easier than the kids.
We'll give you a doctor's note.
That's true.
Yeah.
There was a note. There was a note that went around.
Yeah.
I saw that all over our local social media.
My best stuff is the bullshit I come up with on Thursday night before Friday. That's it. That's my. I can plan months for stuff. I'm like, what if I just do this thing we mentioned on the preview podcast? I just passing, and I wrote a note, said, do that stupid thing, Megan. And then I put it on my whiteboard, and then I did it.
That's all. That's a lot of the teams that way, though. It's
anomaly.
Anomaly. And then we did it. Anomaly.
Our past selves are our gremlins.
Yeah.
That orchestrate the future.
Why are you encouraging this, Megan? I don't know, Megan. It seemed like a funny idea, but now we got to do it.
I have to listen to the gremlin.
Yeah.
I did also want to touch on what Carrie was mentioning earlier about the warnings in the list to specifically call out the slightly safer, because it's been a magical thing to be able to bring my kids to experience some of that. You know, part of it, I'll admit, is selfishly that, like, if daddy's going to disappear for a whole week, I can be like, oh, daddy will show up for like 5 minutes and bring you to this one, right? So I get like a little bit of less guilt. But also,
I get that completely, dude.
Yeah, you do, you know. But also, like, to be able to give the kids these experiences with these movies that aren't like the Minecraft movie. And, and not to knock that, like, studio films and like that kind of thing. What, you know, I'm glad that those things are out there. The kids like those. But
I'll knock the Minecraft movie. That movie is as annoying as shit. Anyway.
But you know, that my... You know, my son, I think, what was it, 3 years ago that you showed Riddle of Fire?
Riddle of Fire,
and he still, and I mean, my son is 13, so he was like 10 when he saw that, and he still talks about it.
It was like the perfect age, because that's like his Goonies, you know?
Right,
that's
it's so good, and I love that, like, he'll still say, like, this is my favorite film, and, like, for any of us that are movie geeks, right?
Yeah.
To be able to have our kids, you know, or any kids in like our community to have a touch point of an independent film that are like, this is something I enjoyed that just like, opens that door for them and it gets, you know, then hopefully they are like, 5 years from now, they're coming to Anomaly because they're like, I remember when dad brought me to see Robot Dreams or something. Yeah. And, you know, or just things like last year's Flow. Now, again, Oscar, it's got a frigging Criterion disc, but like,
I didn't even know about that. That's news to me.
Wild.
And that's
it's,
it, it, but insane. It like, but that aside, like, I brought my two kids to see a movie with zero dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to be able to experience a different type of storytelling, like, it's just, again, is one of the many, many things that you get to experience at Anomaly that you're not going to walking into, like, Tinseltown on Saturday. That's, again, it's one of the many reasons why I love what you all put together. It's freaking awesome.
Well, thanks, Mike.
Thanks. Okay. We're all like blush.
I don't know what to say. I guess,
do we end it here, or do we just really, talk ourselves into a bad situation?
I think what we could do is say thank you one last time to our sponsors for the year.
Let me. Here's the thing. I'm bringing it up because I made this font, but like, I feel like I need to make sure I have everybody in there because.
If anyone goes to we won't woo, but if you're in your car listening to this, make sure to woo after.
Be sure to woo.
Yeah,
that's top of your lungs. We can't do it that loud because
And if you're in your car, it would be cool if you actually roll down all your windows so you can say it loudly so that anybody what's happening.
I'm this was year 7. It's going to be even better year 8. We learned a lot.
We did. It's funny that we've been doing this 7 years now. We've rebooted it 3 times. And we're still like walking around going, you know what we could do better next year? You know what would be a good idea? You know what would be nicer to us and everybody else around us?
No rest.
Yeah.
More merch.
I get charged from
table.
This. I'm a festival guy. I was spun up more. Like, I could keep going. Like, I felt bad. Everyone else is tired and be like, I still got some. I can keep going, guys. A couple days. I'll be very annoying on the Pumble channels right now. Ideas.
I got those. I want to make sure I remember everybody. And to thanks for the potato bar and for filling our tummies in between. It was Madeline's Catering.
Yeah. Woo!
We had Dorje Adornments.
Woo! Yeah.
John Shalia Photography.
Woo!
Fright Rags.
Yes. Woo!
Rochester Greenovation.
Woo!
Lunchador Podcast Network.
Woo! Woo!
We also had the Rochester Finger Lakes Film Commission.
The Woo! Film Office. Let's take a second with the film office. They did so much for us this year. They helped us out tremendously. Tim Bannock and Nora Brown are incredible. Tim Bannock, if you see him, he's the guy that's at our screenings. He's usually got some sort of baseball hat. He's the guy with the Black Yeti cup, and he is the key to the city as far as filmmaking in Rochester goes.
Wow.
Incredible fountain of knowledge. Great guy.
Really wants film to be here. Yeah. He is such a fan of the region and film and like this Venn diagram of a powerhouse that I'm really happy that he's in becoming a regular with Anomaly.
I mean,
that's
awesome. Yeah, he was instrumental in a lot of the stuff we did for the filmmakers. He took some of the filmmakers on a tour to show them around what Rochester could do for them, making their films, and we could have more films made in Rochester.
That's awesome.
What Tim's doing.
Yeah, there actually was some discussions happening with folks. Oh, you know, it was really neat to see.
It's cool. Shout out to the film office and shout out to Tim and Nora. Sorry to take that extra minute out, but I feel like we really
had an important.
Then we had Pandemonium Coffee.
Woo!
And then Carrie, you can take the last one.
Crazy Dude Art and Design.
Crazy.
Yeah. If you like that merch table, everybody, somebody who knew what they were doing did.
She tries.
Succeeded. It's great.
I also want to give a special shout out to our buddy Chris Lindstrom.
Hello, hello! What a delight this was.
Let me give you your flowers because you did something very special for us on the night of Cannonball.
Oh,
you did all of the legwork to set up the outing at Old Pueblo Grill.
Yeah. Oh,
so Chris set that up. It took a lot of work and a lot of effort. He was probably ready to strangle me the amount that I was driving him crazy about it. So I want to say, in front of God and everybody,
thank you
so much, Chris, for setting that up.
It worked out real well.
It was a really good time.
Instrumental in doing that. And everybody, universally, I talked to had an absolute blast with it.
Yes.
It gave us a space for Meg to do the trivia. Everybody had a great meal.
Yeah, shout out to OPG for hosting us. I mean, Joe Zolnirowski and the whole team was great to work with. It reminded me of my nominate days. I got to do this dance with a small restaurant locally. But it was great to see like so many people show up for that. It just felt, you know, it was sad to lose the, you know, poutinerie, but it was so great to be right in the neighborhood and supporting another great local business doing great things.
So, and the food, they impressive. Trust the fat guy; it was great. But it was the people, the filmmakers, were also enjoying it.
So. OPG never fails. It's so good. And thank you again to them, and thank you to Chris for making that happen for us. Last kind of shout outs to some of the folks that came there the year after year.
Oh, yeah.
Folk, obviously, Carrie, Chris, Mike.
Yeah.
I want to say a special shout out to Leslie and Stephanie.
Oh, yes. My God. Beautiful, cute little gifts. These little crochets.
Yeah, people giving
some
gifts.
Some pork potatoes when we needed them the most.
So magical.
Yeah.
Spudly.
Those folks, I am so excited to see them every year. They are family now.
I look forward to it every year.
Yeah, dude, I see them out not in anomaly time. It's a magical little thing.
I haven't had the joy yet, but I can't wait.
Yeah. I got to shout out Kenya, who not only has been there every year, this year with her with her Instagram, she was connecting books with the movies.
Yes.
And then my friend April also started doing that because she usually comes to like one or two films.
Yep.
So now we had at least two local folks saying like, hey, if you like this movie at Anomaly, how about this book? And like, oh my
cool.
God.
Oh, yeah, right? That's so good.
Look at this multimedia reach of Anomaly.
and also
just really cool local people doing amazing things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I got to meet Adam's dad.
Oh my God,
Mr. Lubito.
What a delight! What a delightful man.
Always at the merch table, getting the latest merch.
Yeah, he's so sweet. Like, taking pictures. Oh my God, it makes me happy every time.
I got to tell him about Svengoolie.
Did you really?
Yeah, because that's what my dad always watched.
Yeah.
Which is like so anomaly coded.
It is.
I'm I'm shocked you don't know about him. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about this weirdo on public access TV.
Watch him every Saturday night to this day.
Yeah.
And shout out to Daryl, who takes care of us every year. Potato chip cookies were fantastic. Mm-hmm. Provides the cookies for the pizza party. If you're wondering where dessert comes from the pizza party, that's from Daryl. That's from one of our attendees. She always makes sure we're well sugared.
Mm-hmm. Giggles, incredible. Who's been a volunteer for years. Like, if you see a smiling face at the ticket booth in like that opening night, that's Giggles, and she's got us all taken care of. She's the face you want to see when you come in.
Oh my God.
Just welcoming,
is the best.
And the best earrings in the biz.
No doubt. And all of our volunteers. Yeah. Tim, Pradeep.
Well, okay, listen. My brother, it's fine. Tim kind of has to show up. But thanks anyway, bro. We appreciate it. I know that we basically say, hey, you're going to be a merch and you're going to work it forever because you're good at
points
it.
It's amazing.
Yeah, that's right.
Power of Murphy's.
The Murphy's got a bit of carny in us, and he's got the most.
Somehow that's how that happened, and it's pretty impressive.
Are you officially ranking him last, Meg?
He's first in carny. Now, of course, Matt, also known as Brother Todd, he is in the family rankings. Like, I just want people to know the local Murphys, I rank them. I have to. I'm the eldest.
Yeah.
That's fair.
That's fair. He's not the top brother.
Fight for my love.
Yeah, exactly. But, yeah, and most of all, thank you, everybody else, everyone that we didn't mention by name, that we've gotten to be friends with over the years or just this year, all the filmmakers, all the people that came to the shows. Like, we can't do this without you. We heard so many times, like, from different people, the audience in Rochester is so cool. And it's you're so open to watching whatever we throw up on that screen. Right.
They impressed the filmmakers. The filmmakers commented on how amazing our audience was. And they go to film festivals.
That's partially their job, is to be at film festivals year-round. And they commented, like, Rochester audiences are super fucking cool. And I can't agree more. Like, we love you. We can't do it without you. So we look forward to seeing you again in real life, probably in January for Giallo. I think that's probably happening.
Ooh, coming back.
And then all throughout next year, keep an eye out. We're going to come up with dates. We'll do
adventures be happening.
We're around. Don't worry about it.
We're plotting.
We're plotting. Yeah, it may seem like hibernation, but like I said, that Slack channel doesn't go quiet. So yeah, from the bottom of our hearts to the bottom of yours, thank you so much for everything this year, and we look forward to seeing you next year. This has been Anomaly Presents, the wrap-up show. I want to thank Mike Huntone, Kerry Lindstrom, Magnus Champlin, Megan Murphy, Chris Lindstrom on the 1 and 2s. I've been Matt Austin.
Yeah, woo.
You've been amazing, and we will see you soon for Anomaly.
Yay.
This has been a presentation of the Lunchador Podcast Network.
My wife Kay, and my from Punches and Popcorn.